Good afternoon. And thank you for taking the time to spend with me. Or rather, to spend in this moment of stillness. I've been taking a lot of time lately, being still myself, being quiet, quietly contemplating some things, until this presence within will not let me be still any longer. Even now I feel it flowing. In Galatians, there's a wonderful scripture. Paul, in his enlightenment, tells us about the two covenants. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Eger. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now this is summed up quite beautifully in the other scripture, which says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace by Christ Jesus. Truth and grace by Christ Jesus. These are the two covenants. These are the two states of consciousness. And again in Psalms, and at the beginning of every Infinite Way book, we read, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And what this means, of course, is that if you live by or in the one state of consciousness, the bondwoman consciousness, if you live after that consciousness, you are in bondage. You come under the law, every law, the law of heredity, the law of sin, the law of punishment, the law of disease, the law of economics, the law of entropy, which is that everything winds down in the universe, the karmic law. You come under law if you live by that state of consciousness known as humanhood or material thought, or if you live by the material mind. Ah, but what about Jerusalem, which is above and is free and is by promise? What about this grace and truth? This is living by infinite consciousness, known as Christhood. And if you live by or in this consciousness, then you experience the promise and the promises of grace and truth. You no longer are under the law. You live by grace. I love the last sentence of the paragraph in the beginning of every Infinite Way book. The illumined walk without fear by grace. Because the illumined are those that have come out of the material thought, material mind, and are living in spiritual and by spiritual consciousness. This is the transition that we all seek to make. and that we all must make right here. And so I've been giving this a great deal of thought, a great deal of contemplation, a great deal of meditation. And this is the entire message, the entire mission that was called the Infinite Way, to facilitate that transition in you, where you come out from material thought, material mind, and come into spiritual consciousness, and stop living out of a material mind, and start living by spiritual consciousness, or out of spiritual consciousness. These are the two books of Genesis. They also show us the two states of consciousness. One is the Lord God, which creates and destroys and creates and destroys. And in the midst of this consciousness is the belief in good and evil. But then there is the other consciousness, where God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good, in his image, in his likeness. And in the midst of this consciousness is the tree of life, which springs up into life everlasting. And so we have two consciousnesses. One is a false consciousness, a false mind. One is the infinite consciousness, the mind of God, the mind which was in Christ Jesus. And our journey, if you want to call it that, is from mind to spirit, from material mind to spiritual consciousness. Now, most of us start on this journey because we hear of a spiritual way of living or a set of spiritual principles which will improve us, which will fix our problems, which will bring us fulfillment, peace, and joy. Of course we want that. So we come to the books and the tapes and the talks and the principles, and we begin to apply them. And woe and behold, our life gets better. Our income doubles. The person we feel we were always meant to be with shows up. Our health improves. Our supply gets better. Lack and limitation falls away in some or in several areas. Our human life is, well, very harmonious. And it is with great joy that we come to see the principles work. They really work. And now we are living in a, well, a beautiful, almost a pink cloud. Life is a pleasure. And we go on that, along that way for a while until something happens. Something usually very serious happens. Perhaps someone that we love passes on, and we cannot understand why we lost that loved one. Perhaps we are stricken with a physical disorder that the doctors say there's no real cure for, but you can take these medicines for the rest of your life. Perhaps we come under the influence of a recession where the world's finances seem to crumble and we can no longer find a job quite as easily as in years past. in one way or another, it's brought to our attention not by God, but by our state of consciousness that we haven't yet risen out of material mind, because we're still experiencing the pairs of opposites. And so after we get over our anger, or perhaps our bewilderment, how could this happen to me? I've been studying for 10, 20, 30 years, maybe even 40. We go back. We go back and look for what we must have missed. For we missed something. And after delving into the books, and if we know someone that's farther along than us, perhaps asking questions, and after listening to talks and asking ourselves deeply what's amiss, we discover, really to our dismay at first, that there's much more work ahead of us. And we have been coasting. We found the appearance of the land of milk and honey, and we thought we had attained. But now we look deeper. We search with a deeper search than to fix our problem of arthritis or our lack of supply. Now we search as if our life depended on it. We delve deeply. We ask our very own spirit, our soul, what? What am I missing? What did I not do, or what should I do? Now we soul search. Here we begin to discover what we never saw before. Perhaps we pick up the original book, The Infinite Way, and we read the New Horizon. And we read where it says the entire human experience is a dream. The entire human experience. Inharmonious one and harmonious one. Maybe that shocks us. And we start to see, wow, well, if these principles aren't to make a harmonious life, then what are they there for? What are they supposed to do? And we read a little farther, and we read where it says, above this sense life is a world of spirit governed by love. And we read where it says, when we are ready to leave behind, well, let's put it in the exact words rather than paraphrasing. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. And again, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. And that experience to which she refers is the glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. So, we see that we stop short. We did not make the transition. We found harmony in our human affairs. And now, unfortunately, we have found disharmony or lack or limitation in our human affairs. And we're hurting. And we don't know why. And we come to see now that we can't even pray for harmony in our human affairs or to try to get rid of this disharmony, because that is still working in the realm of this world. We have to leave them both behind, the harmony and the inharmony. And perhaps we have never really looked at that. And so we close the book. There's no answer there. We have to go within. We have to ask the Father. We have to ask our own consciousness, the I in our midst. Just what is prayer? Just what do I need to do? I am ready. I am willing to let go of the inharmonies and the harmonies. I am willing to let go of humanhood. All of it. Ah, now we're ready to make the transition. And that I in the midst of us will bring to us everything we need to do exactly that, to be reborn of the Spirit. Perhaps we've listened to some of those teachers like Herb Fitch that says we must surrender all of humanhood. We must realize that only the Spirit is here. Now, those are nice words, and they feel right, but that doesn't tell us exactly how to do it, does it? It's like Joel says in his talk on spiritual healing. We hear a spiritual talk, and we feel lifted up, and afterwards we say, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? And yet, all of our problems, or all of humanhood, is still with us. Because the instructions for making the transitions have somehow escaped us all of these years. All of us on Earth, before making this transition, have been living in a state of material thought, images in thought, images in a material mind. And that material mind and its images, according to the New Horizon, which really means the new consciousness, that material mind has created the entire dream existence. Everything that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell while living in that material mind is illusion, is a false creation. It's the second chapter of Genesis. And it's hard when we first look at this. You mean everything? Even that person I love and fell in love with? Yes. Yes, I do. Well, you mean even the children that I bore and that I've raised up and the grandkids that have come through them, even that is an illusion? Well, you know as well as I do that those children can become sick. They can even die. Those grandchildren can have accidents. They can have mumps and measles and chickenpox and every known disease. Everything can happen because they're under the law. Well, wait a minute. What about me? Yes. Yes, your human selfhood. Your physical body, the physical sense of body, your material imaged body, this too is a dream. Has no existence outside of that material mind. You really begin to see you've lived 30, 40, 50 years in a material mind forming as these images which constitute the entire universe in which you live. and constitute your entire self. So when the Master and when Joel and others say you must make a transition out of the material sense of existence and into a spiritual consciousness of existence, they mean exactly that. Well, now, great. So now I'm sitting here, and everything I thought I knew over the last 40 years is wrong. It's like I have a white slate with nothing written on it, and I don't know where to go from here. On the one hand, I know with the mind that this entire human existence is a dream, is a series of universal beliefs operating in a material sense of mind. On the other hand, I know, again with the mind, that there's an invisible spiritual creation, and that it is closer than breathing. But I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't experience it. Why? I pray, but I don't feel anything. I meditate, and nothing happens. Why? Ah, now you're standing at the pivotal point, the point to where Joel was hoping to bring you. You're standing on the precipice, and you're being told to step off. Abandon all of it. This is the point, the turning point. Turn ye and live. You're standing there now. Turn. Don't turn back to those worn out memories of truth statements. Don't turn back to those books. Don't turn even back to those talks, those tapes. Don't turn back to your friends. You're standing at the point of death. Death. But you're also standing at the point of birth. And so you are willing, finally, to let go of the harmonies and the inharmonies of human existence. Both. You're ready to let it all go. And you're ready to let go the mind that thought it knew truth. Now that you see the total emptiness of humanhood, now, at last, you can be still. Now, you may turn within and finally be able to say, Father, reveal the truth. Reveal the self. Reveal the spiritual creation. And stop. And rest and wait. Father, thy grace. Perhaps you feel an inner movement for the first time in many years. Perhaps you feel an inner grace, an inner quickening, a spiritual presence. Maybe you never even felt it before. If you don't feel it, there's nothing else and nowhere else to go. Your journey must continue within. It's only there that it may be found. There are no answers for you out here. There are no answers for you in the mind. You must set the mind aside, if only in your meditation. Which is why we were told to simply say, no answer to that, and stand still. Don't move from the spot until something within you moves you. Don't go back to the books, don't go back to the tapes, don't go back to thinking. If you are ever going to find the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you are going to have to be still and let that kingdom touch you. And so, by whatever means you find works for you, find that inner stillness. Sell all that you have to find it. If necessary, sit down and eliminate this world. Eyes closed, you simply know this is material mind. These are images in the material mind, but it isn't a mind. It's a nothingness. And I of myself, am nothing. Father, speak. The words are not important. They never were. It doesn't matter if you know a scripture. Is that helping you any? If it helps you to reach that place of silence, of receptivity, of openness, and leads you to the experience, the inner experience of the movement of spirit, of consciousness, then fine. A scripture's fine. Perhaps there's words that come to you that lead you to that place, which you've never heard before. Fine, use those. Maybe it's easier for you to just say, stop, and close your eyes. And maybe in that way you can stand completely still and wait upon the Lord. Whatever way works, don't move. Don't move from there. You are to be taught of God. That's the only way you can come up over this sense life, is to be taught of God. You have reached the place where you can go no further being taught of man. You can go no further being taught by the mind. You have reached the place where you must be taught of God. If all of these things and people do not leave, you will never have the Comforter. Yet, because you are willing to let go of the inharmonies and the harmonies of human existence, in order to go deeper, then the Comforter shall come unto you and shall teach you all things. From this point forward, your illumination must come from the Comforter within. And Joel tells us, the experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. At first, we cannot even speak of it. There is a sense of, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. And by ascended, that means transitioned out of material mind into spiritual consciousness. And so, again, he says, you will come to see, or rather to experience, the Comforter come upon you. And it is the Comforter of your own being, within your own being, which from then on takes you by the hand and says unto you, now, my child, now, I am breaking the sense of limitation for you as an evidence of my presence, of my influence in your experience. I, the I of you, the Comforter of you, am in the midst of you, revealing harmony and infinity of spiritual existence. I, the I within you, the Comforter, never a personal sense of I, never a human, but I, the I of you, I am with you now. Be still. Look up. It is I. This I must become your constant companion, so that you are led, taught, instructed, guided by this I in your midst, the spiritual consciousness. In your meditation, you must become so familiar with this I that you simply close your eyes and I is upon you. This is the presence that dissolves the material images in a material mind. All of them, not just the bad ones, it is the function of the Comforter to dissolve human existence, lift you up until you understand, until you experience yourself as free from the law, living by grace. This Comforter, this presence, this I in the midst of you will reveal that it forms itself as your living experience when you disappear. Which is why in meditation, Joel has told us that first the patient disappears, then the practitioner, when there is no vestige of humanhood around, then I, Christ, express myself, yourself, the self, the one self. Back in the first chapter of Genesis, I express, and behold, it is very good. There is so much emphasis put on surrender. But it's not to surrender because you're a bad little boy or a bad little girl. And if you surrender, God will bestow favors upon you. It's because surrender means to step out of and let go of a material mind imaged self. And when your attention, your focus, your awareness is not on a material mental image self, a material mind imaged self, then you are open, clear, clean. You become willing to be transitioned. You don't make a transition. You are transitioned by this inner comforter. And when it speaks, when it moves, when you feel it pour into your consciousness, and as your consciousness, it then forms itself as harmonious spiritual existence, and you don't know what that is until it happens, until you witness it. And when it shines, when that light pours forth, it dissolves the material mind images. And they are dissolved, and in their place stands grace. This is the death that you have prepared for all of these years in the infinite way. This is the birth of a transcendental consciousness, being, presence, that will form itself as your very being. And not just your invisible being, but it will appear outwardly as spiritual harmony, and spiritual harmony no man can take, and no law can take, which is why the illumined walk without fear now, by grace. There are many beautiful scriptures, and perhaps we misunderstood them while under the material mind creation. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now that is not spoken to a material mind imaged life, a human life, a separate self. That was not spoken to the human. That does not mean I have financial harmony for you, or physical harmony, or harmony in your relationships. That does not mean I have material harmony. The entire material universe is a dream. And so if you thought, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, meant supply, love, or loving relationship, and physical well-being, you were mistaken, and that's why you haven't received it. God is not in that human scene, that material mind, false creation. And you cannot bring it there with all of your prayers. You must come up higher now. Let go. No, I'm not searching for harmony or trying to get rid of the disharmony. There's no answer to that. I'm stepping out of the material mind and its imaged creation, for it is nothingness. Nothingness. It's not in God, and God is not in it, and can never be in it, and therefore it is nothing. Now, Father, Spirit, I in my midst, fulfill thyself, express thyself, reveal thyself, be. in the secret place where you are empty, silent, receptive. I am born the Comforter. Comes Spirit speaks, the Father utters the word, your being is quickened, transcendental presence reveals, I am. Now you watch. What is spiritual harmony? What is spiritual supply? What is invisible spiritual companionship? What is invisible spiritual health, life? What is invisible spiritual I? What is I? For most of us, we have believed all these years that these spiritual scriptures, these beautiful spiritual promises, were God operating on the human life. But now we know none of them were spoken to a material mind image. Every one of them were spoken to the I in your midst, which is the Son of the living God, and expresses infinitely, eternally. That temple, not made of material mind images, that temple eternal in the heavens, this the Father claims as its Son. This you are when you have died out of material mind images, mental images, and are standing as still as a still lake on a winter's morning. So still that the mind's mental images reflect off of you and do not penetrate. So still that the whisperings of the Father, the gentle leading of the Spirit, the silent coming of the Christ is your living identity. This is the Son, ever one with the Father. I have come to show you life, the one life of the one Son, forever. Oh, you won't close your eyes and live in this experience in the universe above the sense world, sense life, sense mind, on a continuous basis. But once you know, you really know, and are really willing to leave behind the inharmonious and the harmonious pictures of the material mind, then you are ready to be born of the Spirit. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And so no longer do you build the house. No longer does the mind, the material mind, build a house. Here in the silence you witness invisible hands building a temple. Building a temple that's not made with visible hands or mental hands. You don't know how it's made, you just witness it being made. The Comforter is upon you, and you know it. And so you come again and again within here to be taught by experience what I in the midst of you am. You are taught by experience, not with words or thoughts. You are taught by glimpses, by awareness, by experience. And this, as Joel has promised, will become a permanent state of consciousness. As promised, it will be the New Jerusalem from above, which is free. As promised, you will not feel fear living under grace. As promised, it will take over and live you, so that you and it are one, and that one is I. I had no intention today of making a talk. I was perfectly willing to maintain silence, to be still with this. Yet, right from this morning's early meditation, I could feel the hand of the living presence just ever so gently flowing upward and outward. And so, there was nothing I could do but open my mouth and let it flow. Do you see how far we've come? Those of us that are ready, willing, well, let's look at it one more time in his words, because I think they're beautiful, inspired, better than anything else. The very first glimpse of reality within, of the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism or products of material mind images. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, comes within you the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. At first, we cannot speak of it. There is a sense of touch me not, for I have not yet ascended or made this transition. I am still between the two worlds of material mind images and spiritual consciousness. Do not touch me or make me speak of it, because it may drag me back Let me be free to rise, and then when I am completely free of the mesmerism and its pictures, when I am standing in spiritual consciousness, witnessing the invisible I, Christ, I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. This first glimpse into the heaven here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. This ascension is understood now as a rising above the conditions and experiences of this world. And here we behold the many mansions prepared for us in spiritual consciousness, in the awareness of reality. And again, no good thing is withheld from us as we look above the physical evidence to the great invisible. Look up, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your spiritual identity is come. More and more we simply rest, not in some mental belief about truth, but we simply rest out of the material mind, which is nothingness, and await the coming of the Lord, which is allness. And how beautiful, and how wonderful, and how blessed is this experience of the Immaculate Conception in your being. Bless you. Thank you again for taking a moment to rest here in the silence with me, for we are forever one in the Father.